And I mean, I have seen the scene on the deleted scene reel, and it is pretty grim. It was rightfully taken out, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a good exclusion. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things. You know, it's fun to see those deleted scenes and stuff. But fact of the matter is, you do
appreciate.
Kind of feel like, yeah, they made the right decision in deleting them. Mm-hmm. In some cases. In some cases, it will help the movie immensely.
Yeah, let's get out of this position as quickly as we can. Not very steam burning.
This part just moves. I mean, this is just straight action adventure.
And it's almost just a near perfect capper to the trilogy.
Oh yeah. And you get really involved in it.
You do.
And what happened, especially given what happens later. Which, I mean, granted, you know, we've used the word cliche in this movie, in this commentary, probably more than we ever have in a commentary. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of cliches in here, this obviously being another one. But, you know, I mean, it works.
A line that would have been funny had you not seen it in every trailer,
yeah,
and commercial and advertisement for this movie.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, line really is done to death.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame, and we actually just watched the trailer that they did for this movie, and it's actually surprising any of this stuff that happens in this movie would surprise you if you take into consideration how much was really given away in that trailer.
Yeah, there was. But you know what? The movie itself is so involving.
Yeah.
That you almost, well, I mean, you basically do forget what you saw in the trailer. That's that's a great moment for Doc there.
Yeah.
But yeah, all three movies are very involving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my opinion, they're all very involving, and, you know, same goes for this one.
Oh, I mean, like we've said in the other commentaries, and I know I mentioned it on the commentary we did for the first movie, that, I mean, this really is one of the great film series, and, you know, maybe it's not quite up to the level of The Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or a Godfather, but... You know, it's not it's not as serious as any of those, but, you know, it's an entertaining series of yarns.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot like Indiana Jones.
Why did you just have to say yarn at that exact moment, Brian?
That's what it is. Oh, well,
I'm just
never
curious.
Mind. Never mind.
Yeah.
I just got why you said that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's exactly the type of story this is. It's a yarn.
And the fact that he's holding three bunches of yarn, that's just... Okay, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, let's not go.
Yeah.
But, it's an old-fashioned story. I mean, yeah.
Where can I get... The soundtrack for this movie. We're gonna get the soundtracks for all three movies.
I'd love to know myself. I've got actually the soundtrack to the first movie on cassette.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is it the version? Is it the soundtrack with?
Just no, a it's few? It's mostly, you know, I mean, it's the song soundtrack. It's the popular music.
Yeah.
Soundtrack, the one with.
There's a few ounces of extra tracks.
There's a couple. Yeah.
There's a few on Sylvester tracks, but not nearly enough.
I don't know. I think I've seen some Back to the Future soundtracks at Media Play.
Well, the thing is, I have a version that's kind of like a...
Greatest Hits one.
Yeah.
Between all three.
Yeah. Of the Alan Silvestri stuff, not of the...
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't waste money. I mean, well, you know, there's some good songs on the first soundtrack, but I mean...
And the ZZ Top one. Like, yeah, but... Seven, too.
Yeah, but, again, I think we've acknowledged this before, I know we have, but this is Alan Silvestri's best work, in my opinion. Never noticed how many times Marty says that line until now. Perfect!
Yeah, a couple of times a movie, or at least one time a movie.
Would they really be able to hear each other in those things?
I don't know. Think so. Probably not.
I don't think so, but, you know. Again, it's more, you know, that sort of plot movement.
Suspension of disbelief.
Well, I mean, yeah, or what I was talking about, plot movement through winking back at the camera.
I don't know if I would... No, I wouldn't say winking back at the camera on that one.
Well.
But, I mean, that's not winking back at the camera. That's simply, you know, a logic problem that, you know, you just sort of gloss over.
And that it's something you don't think about unless you're sitting here like 2 weeks.
Dissecting the movie like we're trying to.
Yeah. But at the same time, we are having way too much fun watching this. So.
Yeah. I mean, I love the very subtle orchestral sort of train.
Oh, yeah. It sounds movement. Just like a train. That's yeah. I love that. And this is one of my favorite moments in the trilogy right here.
Yeah.
She's the train whistle then. It's so great. I just really romantic actually.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's always romantic and interesting when the male lead, you know, does something heroic, but when the female lead does something as heroic, it's just that much more involving, I think.
Yeah. Plus, that seems to be something that's just sort of come about the past 10 years. And
a strong female romantic lead, right?
Yeah. Well, just strong female lead anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we could go through a laundry list of...
James Cameron's a big fan of that.
Oh, yeah.
James Cameron's a big fan of strong female... Mm-hmm.
And it really seems like Zemeckis, you know, with Jodie Foster in Contact and Michelle Pfeiffer in What Lies Beneath, as much as I despise that movie, which I do...
You're not alone.
I'm not a huge fan of What Lies Beneath, but I love Contact and I love Jodie Foster in that movie.
And even though Helen Hunt has a really small role in Castaway, she's very strong in that movie.
And she does, you know, and it's not your... And it's something that sort of she's shared with Mary Steenburgen, the fact that it's not... It's a typical, you know, romantic female character, but at the same time, it's not.
Yeah.
There's enough difference to that to where, you know, it's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You really do feel a degree of suspense in here.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
You know, even though the trailer basically ruined the entire movie for you, but,
uh-huh.
I mean, you know, you still wonder how the heck they're going to get through this, even though you see the hoverboard clearly behind Marty.
Mm-hmm.
And a more cynical person would point that out, like, hey... There we go.
Well, I was thinking the entire time that Claire was still going to go back in time with him. I was thinking the entire time,
yeah.
How in the hell?
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was all going to work out somehow mm-hmm. like that, but
yeah,
it doesn't. But you know, it's still a great climax.
Oh yeah, it's a fantastic climax.
Michael J. Fox in physical comedy. This is the most, well, I was going to say this is probably the most physical action the Docs has ever been involved in, but, you know, we also have the clock power climax in part one.
Yeah, you really do, but I mean,
this is still pretty darn physical.
Yeah.
And probably I think the most suspenseful of all three climaxes.
Yeah.
And the one that you do find yourself cheering the most.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not just Doc and Marty anymore. Yeah. I mean, you know, you really...
And you really feel
such a connection with Clara that, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know... You really want to see it work out.
Mm-hmm. It's not just a action climax; it's an emotional climax as well. And there's even more of an emotional climax coming up
mm-hmm.
to cap off the entire story.
Yeah,
that's some really great miniature work there by ILM.
Yeah.
This part always makes me laugh.
Yeah. Eastwood Ravine. Yeah, this is a funny part. Hey, what's up?
Well, as cool as Marty's character has always been, there's always...
and there really is a train.
Yes. As cool as Marty's character has always been, there's always been a kind of a goofy quality to him as well.
Yeah.
That makes him really vulnerable. And therefore very believable.
Throwback to the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember how ridiculously, I don't know, there was just a real emotional toll taken on me when I finally saw the time machine destroyed like this. I just remember being completely thrown back by this.
Well, also by the notion of, well, how can you end this on such a note that, I mean, he's never going to get to see the Doc again, mm-hmm. or at least as you think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you really do feel the fact that, you know, it could be it.
Mm-hmm. In the second coat now. Some of the only moments here filmed for part three that were filmed during the schedule for part two.
Mm-hmm.
That's so obviously not Crispin Glover right there.
Yeah. Which is why he doesn't say anything. Jennifer, again played by Elizabeth Shue,
mm-hmm.
who replaced the original actors in, for part 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
With the shoe, it was with another Spielberg project, actually, Chris Columbus and Adventures in Babysitting. And The Karate Kid, and of course later was in Leaving Las Vegas, which he was nominated for an Oscar for.
Mm-hmm. Hollow Man.
Oh yeah, Hollow Man. And, was it The Trigger Effect? That one really small thriller she did, I think.
The commentary here says that, you know, that's the first, that's the, we, you know, we finally, they're acknowledging that we finally get to see Marty kiss Jennifer, but he kissed her in that part one.
Yeah.
But I think that, I think it's, there's more weight to it here, though.
Mm-hmm.
There really is. Because, like, you and there's a member right here. There's a member of
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, yeah, Flea. But I was gonna say that there's a member here, not Flea, but the other characters here, the other extras. They're all members of different gangs of Biffs throughout the trilogy.
Yeah, I did remember just seeing that.
I know Billy Zane isn't in there, but
mm-hmm.
just all. I mean, I think there's a different member from each of his gangs from all three movies right there.
I think you're right. I think I did read that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what Marty does here is just as dangerous.
Yeah, it really is. Because it's a very good thing this is on a closed course.
Yeah. I did get a kick out of remembering stuff that I saw in part 2
mm-hmm.
when I finally saw part 3.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know,
continuity.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't remember a whole lot of watching part 2 and 3 in theaters.
Mm-hmm. This is a neat moment here, though.
Yeah.
This is just...
You've still got that part of the picture.
Well, I just love I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a great... When the train crossing sign.
Yeah. Doc's initials and the side of the locomotive.
Mm. Such an appropriate ending.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you have to more or less stretch your... It's a little bit of a stretch, but it...
Yeah.
It's so appropriate. Aww. Yes, Einstein is still a part of the story. This is a really wonderful. I think this is, you know, you have the Doc and Claire theme, and this is a really beautiful theme, I think, that really has more to do with Marty and Doc.
Yeah. I mean, really, the entire trilogy is about them and about their friendship. And here we go with the logical flaw that basically negates the entire past two films.
Thank you.
Thank you. But, you know what? I mean, if it were that simple, well, it would have just been one great film instead of
a really cool great, trilogy.
Yeah.
Already been there. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
This is ILM at its best.
Mm-hmm.
ILM at its best right here. Very much a effect of that period in film.
Yeah.
Still beautiful nonetheless. The end. Yay! Dun, 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 dun. Well, Brian, any closing thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, you know, usually I go on for hours on end as far as my closing thoughts. Mm-hmm.
You feel like you summed it up pretty well
throughout the commentary? I think I did. I mean, you know, I love this movie. I love all three of these movies. I really enjoy this movie, probably more than the other two.
Got to double back, my friend.
Well, we don't necessarily sing.
No,
but,
no. We can't dance either, so
no.
That's why we do this. We can't sing, we can't dance, but we can talk your ear off about movies.
I don't know if it was one of our more enthralling commentaries, but
hey,
you know.
But if you want a really good Back to the Future commentary, check out our commentary track for part one. I mean, that really is, I feel, our finest hour.
Yeah, we've been discussing this a lot. I tend to think otherwise, but then again, I've admitted,
well, it's one of our. It's definitely
really
one of our.
Watched that.
It's definitely one of our better commentaries.
Yeah. I just love this entire trilogy. It's. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I bought this box set.
Oh yeah,
because
I'm so glad it was given the box set treatment.
Yeah,
as you know, it's not up to caliber as the extras are. You know,
uh-huh.
it's still a really fun series.
I mean, the movies are worth the price regardless. I mean, regardless of all. Any bells and whistles on any DVDs. I mean, that's the most important thing is the movies. And, you know, movies, with the exception of 2 and 3, not really being given the love they deserve, the framing faux pas, for lack of a better term, that took place in those two. I mean, you know, it's just fun to have these on this format.
It's very, yes.
You know.
So, but, yeah, I just want to acknowledge, you know, what these movies mean to me because, I have a best friend who I've known for nearly 20 years now who joined us on the commentary for part one. And,
I think we can probably say his name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. His name's Mike and, his name's Mike, and I've known him since I've known him since I was five or six. And I just, you know, probably why this series means so much to me is that I, when I look at Doc and Marty, I see Mike and myself.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. To at the risk of getting semi-touchy-feely, I really do see Mike and myself, and I look at Doc and Marty, and
can't get nearly as touchy-feely as some of my comments have gotten over on some of these commentaries.
So that's what these movies mean to me. I see me and my best friend, and you know, Mike just recently got married and had his first child, and me obviously being the Marty character, you know, being the naive one, and Mike being the one with the good head on his shoulders and everything, and you know, seeing Doc, you know, with Clara, you know, and then ultimately his family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And
it
actually
really does reflect on the way I feel about, you know, where Mike and I are now in our friendship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way we started out as, you know, little kids and and where we are now. It really is reflective upon where I am with Mike and where Mike and I are, you know, in our lives as individuals.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that when you mention that, I'm starting to think about all the movies we've done as, you know, as Yahoos with a Microphone, as the group.
Mm-hmm.
How many of these films that we've done really...
Matt Clark is a bartender.
Really focus on friendships.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And, you know, thinking about, I mean, you know, the Harry Potter movies with, you know, obviously the main three. You have E.T., obviously, probably one of the best films about friendship ever.
Lord of the Rings. Good point.
To a certain degree, AI, I mean, with the relationship between David and Gigolo Joe. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just... And one that we've done commentary on, but we'll do again with Jane, Silent Bob.
Yeah.
So it's probably not the best example, but...
Although, you know, that is one of the great movie friendships.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say about it.
Maybe not necessarily the one you really want to emulate, but...
No, it is one of the epic movie friendships, though. So.
But, yeah, I mean, it's really interesting thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brian and I are going to go hold each other now, so...
No, we are not doing that. We are... Well,
and we managed to talk all the way through the credits again.
Yes, I don't know how that happened. I mean,
neither do I. You know, I think it's because I got semi touchy feely. But anyway, this
only
is
we had the 20 minutes of the Lord of the Rings fan club credits. We could go.
Well, this is Ronnie Haynes,
and this is Brian Scuttle,
and we're Yahoos with a Microphone,
and we're on the Amblin Entertainment logo. Good night.
God bless.